I want to be very careful what and how I say what I say. But I think I've been deceived a lot by a lot of the things that were taught about us and them. And well, we can dig into that a little deeper, maybe in a separate message, because this is kind of focused in a certain area, but I'm sure there may be other messages coming and stemming from this thought, if y'all will have me. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power that brings salvation to God, to bring salvation to everyone who believes. And I noticed that the gospel wasn't being emphasized as much as I thought. I mean, it was a means to get us to really talking about what we really want to talk about, the church, the distinctions of the church, the differences, what makes us unique, and what makes us not like them. And if you see what I'm doing here, what the painting I'm trying to paint is a painting that somehow, this is exactly what happened to Israel, that you get puffed, we get puffed up. And we have to be careful that we don't get ourselves, and it's all about us, it's all about us in our group, in our way. Jesus' own disciples had an incident when they went to Jesus and said, look, we found others that were out there preaching in your name, the others that were out there doing wonderful works and miracles in your name, and they wanted to stop them. Should we go stop them? And Jesus, what did Jesus say? Let them alone. Leave them alone. Let them be. Anyone who is not against us, he said, is for us. I just want to be a little real, a little gritty, a little raw, a little. And that's just kind of how I am anyway. I was learning how to preach and how to teach. And every time there would be a reference for me to learn, read this book, I started noticing a pattern. The book I went to wasn't even, no one affiliated with the Church of Christ. Look at your song, your hymnals. Look at your hymnals. The songs we sing, it's not Church of Christ. I mean, very few of them are. There are a few. But the majority come from what we say we have nothing to do with and cast them out. When I went to school, I was given scholars to read books. Very few of them were from Church of Christ organizations. There were some, of course. Hold on, preacher. You are walking, you're treading on some dangerous ground right now, brother. I know my tribe. I've been here. I've been with you for quite some time now. I know exactly where we are, and that's exactly why I think this is important today. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God and salvation. When I got baptized, when I obeyed the gospel from the heart, I came up out of that watery grave with very little understanding of whatever Church of Christ methodologies or Baptist methodologies or Lutheran or anything else. I just came up because I saw Jesus and I wanted an encounter with Jesus. And as I came up out of the watery grave of baptism, I believe Christ put me in his church. The brother was reading earlier that, you know, in Ephesians, now because of the fact that we're now in Christ, we are seated in heavenly places. I didn't need anyone to say, hey, COC, we don't do communion on the first day of the week, or we don't use musical instruments, those distinctions were not taught to me in order to bring me to the point of salvation. I don't want you to misconstrue what I'm saying. The gospel is the power, has the power to save. In the gospel is the power to save. Why? Because the gospel is reminding us of what Jesus did, Jesus' work. It's reminding of Jesus' work, and it's helping us to get into Jesus' work, not our own. You've been probably been around the church, many of you, for a long time. You've probably seen some people who it seems as if, well, they came in, they got baptized. And they've been in services. They maybe even teach a Bible class. Maybe even became a deacon. I mean, all these different things. I can point to people who it looked like, man, they were with us. They had an encounter and they had a transformation to become part of us, but didn't become part of him. You can come in these doors and come out of the water grave of baptism and never have an encounter with Jesus. You can come through because maybe I was pressured because I know the church says baptism is important. I can't eat crackers and juice until I'm baptized. Hello, children. I can't be a part of certain things because I haven't been baptized, so I just get baptized. Wrong reason. Wrong reason. When we really obey the gospel, look at Acts chapter 2. You see the preaching of the message of the cross. You see Jesus highlighted as Lord Messiah. You see the emphasis put on God's saving power, not our works. You see what Jesus did and all that. And you see a people on the day of Pentecost that said they surrendered to that. They surrendered to the gospel message. The culmination of Peter's message was, let all the house of Israel know surely that God called this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And afterward, it says they were pricked in the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They understood that they had done something against God. Against the God that created them. And they had a part to play. Their hands were dirty, and they reckoned, I want it to be clean. Peter didn't say, well, you know what? Get on out. I know they use instruments over there in the Jewish worship. Hello? Okay, we ain't going to talk about that. I know they use it over there, but you need to make sure, because this is now Church of Christ, right? Established on day of Pentecost, 33 A.D., right? I'm smiling because one of the first things I was given when I came into the body was this big old pamphlet. And you open it up. Y'all remember this. Some of y'all remember this. And open up about that big. The thing was sort of like this. Open up about that big. And it said, the one true church. And then it gave me every denomination. Here's them. Here's where they started. Here's where they, boom, boom, boom. The founder, and boom. And I was given the same thing, and I saw the first line right there, Church of Christ in Jerusalem, 33 AD, boom, boom, boom. And I started looking at it with pride. Look at my church. Church is in the Bible. The churches of Christ salute you. My church. I'm going to be honest with you. My mind is going a lot of places. I'm trying to hold back on certain things. I'm going to hold back. I'm going to hold back. I'm going to hold back. Yes, I will. Well, you can't drop all this at the same time. No, sir. Let's go to scripture. Let's go to scripture. Let's go to scripture. Let's do this. The purpose of the gospel. Let's read this again. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation. I want you to just start right there. Start at that point right there. The gospel is the emphasis. The church is the container of the saved. Christ, when you obey the gospel, Christ puts you into the church. But what I've been seeing is let's point out the differences of church and let you decide on which one you think is right according to scriptures. They're wrong. They use this, they that. We don't that. So you obviously need to be here because they're wrong. But one thing we don't do is point the on our side that is wrong. Oh, nobody want to talk about that now. On that, oh well, which Church of Christ are we talking about? Is it the Church of Christ that uses head coverings? Are they the one true church? Because we do know there are differences doctrinal differences between those things, right? Or eating in church. You may not, some of you might not even know that's a problem. Some of them go, you can't eat in the church building. And then someone else goes, church building? You guys have a church building? That's unscriptural. You don't see that, right? Oh, y'all ain't been around a while, huh? Y'all don't get around a lot, do you? Yeah. All of these differences, all of these opinions, I mean, that differ according to the one true one, right? I'm going to wrap this up nicely at the end, hopefully. Hopefully, y'all. I know some of your minds are all over the place. One day, I was out door knocking. I was with a sister in Christ. We're knocking on the door. Person opens the door. They don't want a Bible study. The sister goes, I see what you guys are doing. You guys are doing something really good for God. I want to pray for you. Sister I have from the Church of Christ, been in the Church of Christ a long time. I'm new. Lady says she's going to pray for us. What would you say? Thank you. The sister said, pray for me. God doesn't hear sinners' prayer. Where did she get that from? I'll tell you what, if you don't hear sinners' prayer, then Lord, we all in some trouble. Hello. We in some big trouble. But I understand what they're saying, and still, I don't agree with it. The Lord hears. The Lord knows. All right, let me get to my points, because the purpose. Paul starts out, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He puts a bullseye right there on the gospel. This is the important part. This is the most important part. This is, I mean, when we're talking to salvation, the gospel is the most important part. Hello? It tells us, first of all, and reminds us of what Christ did. What did Christ do? He died for us. He died, buried, and rose, which proved he's Lord Christ, the Messiah. It's the foundation in which we stand on. And so that's why we keep pointing to that. That's why every time we come together, the communion is a memorial of the gospel of Jesus Christ, reminding us of the good news of Christ, what he did for us that we could not do for ourselves. And so as Paul's going out and preaching, he's saying, look, I'm not ashamed of this message, because in this message carries this great power of salvation to all. Jesus came to save sinners like you and me. He thought about us. He thought about our condition. He recognized what we had, and he comes to give himself as our substitute for what we rightfully deserve. We were talking about grace and mercy, right? Grace and mercy, mercy and grace. The things that God extends to us and gives to us that we do not deserve. I think Mark mentioned it a little bit. Our works, they never saved you. They never saved you. But I was baptized. That didn't save you. The fact that you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. There was something that happened on the inside that caused you to do something on the outside. And see, when the inside man is fed and all that, and when that enlightenment comes, it's going to lead you in the right place. And let me not separate the God and God's will from all of this. I know we don't like to talk about it a lot, but God calls us, and God moves us, and God works in creating divine connections. How is it? Some people say, well, man, I was looking for a church. I was looking for a church, and I found y'all, and I found it. How is it I found the truth in the gospel of Jesus Christ as I was searching? Because God had a divine connection. God was leading, and you just follow his lead. And then all of a sudden, we think that, well, okay, well, now I know a little bit of something. And now I know a little something. And usually the little I know is something that someone fed me, and I repeat, and I keep repeating, even when it's not true. These are the tough ones to. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. The gospel is not just a message you agree with. It's not a checklist. I did my five acts. I did the spiritual. I came in, checkbox Sunday. Well, how about Monday? 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. This means when someone truly needs to hear the gospel, and when they believe it, God is doing something. God is doing a work that only God can do within that person. So it's conviction plus transformation. God's transformation, as he's convicting us and helping us to come to that realization, he's also desiring that as we obey the gospel, to transform us, to not make us, as we come up out of that watery grave of baptism, we should be coming out new. But we've seen people that try to obey the gospel in their own strength. They get wet. They go through the same motions, different reasons, right? I remember one young lady. I said, she was like, "Can you talk to my boyfriend? Can you talk to him?" Well, excuse me, it wasn't boyfriend. They were already engaged. They were getting ready to get married soon. I told him I would not marry him until he became a Christian. All right. Well, he wanted to get married. He became a Christian because he wanted to get married. Ain't wrong answer. The gospel is the point where we recognize my need and his strength, my weakness and his power, my insufficiency and his sufficiency. Well, I've gotten to my lowest, and now I recognize my need. I'll just talk about myself. I recognize it. I got to my breaking point, and I had nowhere else to look but up. But God found me. God reached down. Oh, my goodness. He reached down, and he picked me up out of miry clay. He took me out of darkness and brought into the marvelous light, not so I can be a Church of Christ, sir, but so I could be a Christian. The reason I sat at the table the very first time was because I just want to know the word, free of religion, free of men's doctrines being poured in and all that. And I know there's, truthfully, it's almost impossible for us to erase all of that. Our traditions sometimes have gotten in, and sometimes we look at our traditions and we say that these are doctrinal things. That these are things to separate, you know, musical instrument for a reason, for a moment. I'm going to just throw that in there. I know that's our big sacred cow. Why do we use this as a tool to separate? Why? Is that what we were taught to as we came in the gospel? Was that difference even in the Bible? Is it even in the Bible? Do you see anyone disputing it against Christian at one time in the Bible? And if you can, show me, because I haven't read it yet. We make up things. And listen, I want to be clear. I'm not against a cappella. I love a cappella. This is my style. Hello. This is my style. I love it. I do. But I want to be honest with Scripture. And I don't want to make lines where the Lord has not made lines. Or did, well, yeah, same difference, yeah. And so we don't want that. We don't want that. And when we go back to the preaching of not only Paul, but of the disciples, you see an emphasis. And the emphasis isn't on, matter of fact, and I'm not saying there's no time for distinctions and even our own traditions and all that. There's time for all that. I told you I'll wrap it up later, but I need you to feel this right now. That we got to recognize that sometimes what we've been given and the things that we're using to divide other people, some things are foreign to Scripture, first of all, or God doesn't make us them dividing points. You look to Romans 14 and you see people, you see two different guys. Matter of fact, brother brought this up in a Bible class this morning. You see two different people that had two different views on what they believed was faith, on what they thought was, hey, look, I can eat meat, sacrifice to idols. I can, and you shouldn't. And say, look, don't judge one another. Let me let you hear this. God's going to judge all. I don't have to be the judge. I don't have to make the divide. You know what I do? This is my philosophy. Just in case you want to know what my philosophy, well, who are you, Domingo? I didn't know all this. My philosophy is this. I want to clearly say what the Bible says. I want to clearly say what the Bible says. That's what I do. But in those areas of murky grayness, hello? I want to stand how God is in Romans 14, where each can be convinced in their own mind, should not use it as a tool to divide for one another. Each will be convinced because to each will stand before their own master. And that's what the scripture says, Romans 14. Read the whole chapter. You're going to stand before God yourself. You've got to stand for what you know. I've got to stand for what I know and what I believe and what I practice and what I do. You've got to do the same thing. So guess what? That means stop listening to what every Church of Christ broadcast out there says, because they're all different, first of all. Hello. They're all saying something a little bit different. Instead, listen to what Christ says. The emphasis isn't the Church of Christ or this broadcast or this book or this doctrine or this teaching and all that. The emphasis is on Christ. I believe doctrine is important. Don't get me wrong. But there is a doctrine of love. There's a teaching that God has shown us too on how to teach and how to reach. And I'll tell you what, I can guarantee that standing at someone's door and saying, you can't pray for me, you're not, and I am. That's not the Lord I see in my scripture. That's not the Lord I read about. That's not the Lord I'm following. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, when you truly come to Christ, you're not just adding, you know, some new things to do on Sunday or new checklists and all of that. What you're doing is you want to come for transformation. Transformation. You can't manufacture that. You can't produce that with a checklist. It comes from surrendering to Jesus at the cross, to recognizing I'm not, but you are. I'm weak, but you're strong. I can't, but you can. That's all what it's all about. It's about coming to that breaking point of recognizing I need you, Lord. And that's where it starts. And then you obey that form of doctrine. You obey the gospel. You come out of the water grave of baptism, and now we start peeling off this old man. Now we continue in our sanctification. We continue to the day that we die of stripping off this old man and putting on the new man and all of that. But once again, I want to just caution us. Stop looking at everyone else, because the easiest place, the best place to look is in the mirror. lot of times what we do is we look at everyone else because we don't want to look at the mirror. And it makes me feel better. If I can talk about the Baptist and the Pentecostal and the Methodist and the this and the that, it makes us feel, oh, man, you know, we are, right? We are the one true ones. You've seen that spirit. I know you have. You've seen that spirit. Is that Christ? I want to preach the word of God. Now, let me tell you this. Some of you, if you know anything about church history, then you also know that Church of Christ history has a history also. Church of Christ has a history. And there were men that said, look, let's go back to the scriptures. Let's go back to the word of God. You know, they were coming out of other denominations where there was clear errors in the teaching and all of that. And they said, you know what, let's just go back to the book. Man, that's what I want. That's what I'm talking about. Let's just go back to the book. That's what brought me to the table that first time. Let's just go back to the book. That's what opened my eyes to Jesus. That's what helped me to obey the gospel. Let's go back to the book. And then as I started looking more at the book afterward, I started seeing something different. Then I started teaching something different. Let me wrap this up in a way so you can see what I'm really talking about. I taught this man. I baptized him. Brought him, helped him to come to faith in Christ based upon what I knew at the time. Matter of fact, I brought him to Christ. There's no doubt about that part. The part was the after. He was excited, same like I was. Like, whoa, yeah, I don't want to be in a denomination. And I don't want those constraints that they have. And that's just not right. And headquarters and this, and how can they dictate? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm teaching him all these things. And then all of a sudden, he's baptized. Baptized him at the Northeast Church of Christ. Then we started studying some more because afterward, I wanted to indoctrinate him to the Church of Christ. And he picked it up. He was a sharp cookie. I didn't even know what I was doing. We started going through these books, and it was like, hold on. I thought you said we were throwing off all these things. Yeah, but see, in the Church of Christ, this is what we do. Did you catch that? Did you just catch that? In the Church of Christ, this is what we do. I want you to hear that. You ever said that? You ever heard it said? Can you catch the implication of that? In the Church of Christ, this is what we do. Huh? We have just separated ourselves from everyone else. We've just denominated ourselves. We have just made ourselves one of. I know we say, no, we're the true ones. True. But then we really can't do that much good either, because remember I said, the books, the songs, the schools. Really? Everyone else is wrong, but we're right. Well, I guess I'm not going to find a good way to wrap it up. Let's just say this. I probably threw a lot of questions out there. Probably got wrestled up a bunch of questions, some of which I don't even know how I enclose all of them right now. I really don't know all the questions that are out there. But I want to reassure you something. I believe the Bible. I believe in the church. I believe the oneness of the church. But I believe that the church is made up of all those, wherever they are, whatever age they are, of those who have obeyed the gospel from the heart. And I don't believe that all people I'm just going to put it out there, just straight up. I don't believe that all people that obey the gospel are all sitting in the church that has a sign that says Church of Christ. I don't think God is that limited. Because if the gospel is the power of God to save, that means wherever the gospel is, then salvation is possible. And wherever the gospel is, there's members of the church. If you are dropped into Cambodia and you never knew any other language, you know English, and you're sitting there among the people there, and you go, I don't know what they're doing, what they're talking about. And all of a sudden, some books start raining from the sky, and this Bible comes, and I start reading that Bible. I've been living in Cambodia all this time, and now I'm reading this Bible. I never heard this Bible, but this is really interesting and all of that. And I get to the point where it says, look, Jesus came and he died for me and he was buried for me and he rose on the third day. And I'm in Cambodia. I don't know these people. I don't even know the language. I don't know the culture. I don't even know how I got here. Why did I put myself here in the story? But anyway, I'm reading that book, and I get to the point where it says, I see them saying, what must I do to be saved? And I'm saying that to myself also. And I see what they did. And then I do what they did. And there was no Church of Christ preacher. There was no congregation to join myself to at the moment. But I just want to ask you a question. If he obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, he got one of the Cambodian locals. Hey, can you come over here and just dump me in this water real quick? But the Bible says that blah, 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 blah. Right? I know some of us have a problem with that too. He wasn't a Church of Christ preacher that did it. Anyway. But the person came to an encounter with Jesus, obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, was buried in the water grave of baptism. We might not recognize him, but I believe God will. I believe God does. And I want to be accurate when especially, you know, we got a lot of new people and a lot of new things going on and all that. You know, this is not the place where we're coming bashing everybody else. That's not what we do here. I got enough to look in the mirror and see all the faults and all the things that I have myself. I'm not going to bash other Christians. Yeah, I said it. There are other Christians. I don't agree with Baptist doctrine. I don't agree with Catholic doctrine. I don't agree with Lutheran doctrine. I agree with Christ. But I know that there are Christians that don't believe in Baptist doctrine that are worshiping in Baptist sanctuaries. Just like I know there are Church of Christers that claim Church of Christ that don't even believe in Church of Christ doctrine but are sitting right here amongst us even right now. When God judges, he's not going to judge your congregation. He's going to judge you and me. And we're going to stand before God. We're going to have to give an account one way or other. And it's not going to matter what mom and them did. It's not going to matter what dad and them did. It's not going to matter. My great-grandfather was an elder in an old church. I don't care. Christ is not going to care. What have you done? He's going to look at you. He's going to look at your heart. And he's looking at my heart. And he's going to look at our desire to surrender to him and live for him. And I'm not going to put any more differences or divisions than the ones that God already said. There are enough. There are enough. I don't need to add no more to it. I love you all. I know I've said some things that may have challenged some things that you may have thought about before, or maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe it's just been confirmed some things or just reinforced some things. But in the spirit of love and of brotherhood, if there is something I said that is out of line, talk to me with love. Bring it to us with love. Let's encourage each other. See, this is the reason I love the scriptures, because I wanted to be guided by scripture. Look, I want you to hear me clearly. I don't want to be guided by what the brotherhood does and says. I'm not about what popular opinion is. That's just not me. I'm just going to tell you the truth. This is what all the brotherhood says. Oh, brotherhood could be wrong. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there be that find it. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many entering thereat. I don't just follow the crowd just to follow the crowd. We're not here just to follow the crowd and just go through our traditionalism. I want a relationship with Christ. And I want to preach you to have a relationship with Christ, not just to a religion, not just to a set of teachings and doctrines sometimes that we, our own traditions have been mixed into all of this. And then sometimes we don't know the difference between our tradition and scripture. Well, I'm just going to close. Jesus, you're enough. Lord, what you did is enough. It's enough to save man. It has the power to save man. Without any other addition, without any subtraction, the gospel is the power of God to save. Maybe there's somebody here and you're at your breaking point. You're at that point where you're like, look, I know I need him. Maybe I can't articulate it right. Maybe I don't even know every scripture and all that, but one thing I know is I need him. Are you in the right place? You're in the right place. Christ Jesus, he came, he died, he was buried, and he rose on the third day. That's the foundation by which we stand. Isn't it Paul that said, if Christ has not been raised, then we're preaching in vain? You know, if Christ hadn't been risen, all this sacrifice and all the things that we've done would be for naught. But the truth is, Christ is risen. And that's the very foundation of everything that we do here. That's why when we come to the table, that's what we're focusing on. That's what this cross is focusing on. What Christ did for us that we could not do for ourselves. He came, he gave himself. He was the atoning sacrifice. He did what we could not do. Lord, help us to come to that realization. Help us to come to that moment of brokenness. Help us to serve you and to love you. If there's someone here this morning, you're ready to obey the gospel in baptism. The water is ready. I've heard it's even warm now. Amen. The water is ready. We've got clothes that are ready. If there is a heart that is ready. If you're a heart that just says, look, I just want Jesus. Come. If there's a heart that's been in, maybe go, well, I don't even know if I did it. Did I even do it right? I remember having that same question. I was in a Baptist church, and I go, I know when I got up, it wasn't what you're saying here. Matter of fact, I know it wasn't because they told me, we'll come back next month, and we're going to do it then. So I was like, well, okay, next month. It couldn't have been for salvation. It couldn't have been for salvation because you ain't waiting for. So they believe at that moment I said this statement, I was already saved. Baptism is just an outward sign of inward grace. Right? Now I can point, see what I just did there? I pointed to a doctrine, not to the people. The doctrine is wrong. The doctrine I was learning over there was wrong. There's nothing wrong with saying, see, that's what I'm saying. Truth is truth. Let's stay with truth. There's some doctrines we got that we can point out too. Anyway, but right now, someone who's ready, saying, look, my heart is ready. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to give to him. And I'm going to let the Lord take it from there and just walk on each and every day. Maybe there's someone here today, you're ready to obey the gospel in baptism. I believe that. I teach that. So I encourage you, if you believe that, to come right now and come be a part of his church, his body, his family, even in this congregation right here. If you're ready, would you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation? There's a message showing glad for the sinful and the sad. Ring it out, ring it out. It will give them courage new. It will help them to be true. Ring it out. Ring it out. Ring out the word. Poor land and sea. Still far from Jesus, many live. And
darkness and doubt. Ring out the news that makes men free. To all the lost of every nation, ring it out.
Amen. You may be seated. I hope we found your song, brother. I first wanted to say thank you for patiently listening to the message, and I just really, I'm sure I got some questions that I need to answer for some encouragement from others, and maybe even some rebuke from some. I don't know. But I want to be true to the word, always, always true to the word, despite whatever comes after that, true to the word. And I also solicit, as I stated earlier, and I'm serious, if I'm off, if I'm going the wrong direction, pull your brother aside. Is this what we do to one another? Not castigate, not get on Facebook, not, if you love me, let's talk, and let's share. There's nothing, you know, there's no hate in my heart. I know sometimes I preach a little with energy and passion, but not with hate. There's love. There's great, great love there. Love for the word, love for God's people, love for God's church. And I desire that we be the church that God intends us to be. And so I thank you for the message, for listening to the message. And once again, no questions, a dumb question. You can come, you can talk, you know, talk with me, talk with the elders. Let me just say, I'm not even saying all the elders agree with what I just said. But, you know, we can talk with one another. And this is the beauty of what I saw coming up earlier, that we could wrestle with scriptures and talk about things and not, we don't have to conform and everyone have to believe the exact same thing. We can still love one another in spite the differences. Now, there's some things, I'm gonna tell you the truth. Don't come to me talking Jesus as Lord. Hello. Don't come to me, you know, but there's some things that it's just, hey, I'm not even gonna entertain. But, you know, we can talk about our differences and our distinctions and the things that we've experienced growing up with our experiences and all that. So I encourage you to do that, and I encourage us to look to God. Look to the scriptures. Amen. God bless. Thank you, sis.
Choir, Boy Scouts. But when I got to my senior year in high school, I encountered a friend who I sit next to. And she was someone who knew something about the Bible and was interested in talking about the Bible. And that had come to me to be very important, and it eventually brought me into contact with the Church of Christ in White Plains, New York. The thing that attracted me was the desire to study the scriptures, because that's where the answers are, and also through prayer. And I believe one of the things we want to do, because we don't all have the answers, but we want to do what is pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to ourselves, per se. And when people ask us, well, why do you do what you do? We explain, well, this is our understanding, and it's what we're trying to do is to be pleasing to God. Not everything we do, I don't think we don't have all the answers. And I think over time, to some extent, the answers change, because we have to adapt to where we live. But thank you very much, Domingo, for bringing this topic up this morning. Well, and thank you to whoever found the switch or the button, whatever, and got the AC working this morning. Appreciate that. Next topic, picnic. This Saturday, this time next week, we'll be talking about the picnic. If you have not already, and if you have questions, there's a blue flyer underneath the bulletin board out in the lobby. This is where you're going to find the information that you're going to need about it. So please go there. If you have questions, see Anna. Also, Anna's out there, and Anna has the passes for the park. Oh, there she is, in hand. So if you have signed up to go to the picnic and you had signed up for a pass, see Anna to get your pass this morning, all right? Don't wait till Saturday morning to get your pass. Get your pass this morning. She notes, she had in her note to me, that they need people to help work on the grill. So if we have some grill people out there who are want to have a hand in how food is cooked and being involved with that, see Anna, let her know that you're interested in helping out on the grill. Also, on Friday at the building, am I correct? Is there a time at the building? All right, let me put it this way. If you think that you can come here on Friday to help loading up the coolers and getting everything ready so that they'll be in the cars or trucks or whatever so that they can go over to the park, see Anna. So she can get, if she doesn't know, she'll probably, what she may have to do is figure out what that best time is and let and contact the people who've let her know that they want to help on Friday. Next topic. I think this is the first time I've ever used this thing up here. So, all right. The Irwins have set up another care calendar. And the address information for that is going to appear in the next bulletin that will be going out at the end of this week. We haven't seen the Asbells for a while, Betty and Dwayne. And so what we want to do is to help support them. They're in a time where they could use some additional support. And go to the care calendar and to be able to sign up for a time when you can stop by and to visit them. The time frame is going to be like between 1 and 5 in the afternoon during the week sometime. Let's say I've got, it's either Tuesdays or Thursdays. You're not going to spend the whole time there, you know. You'll get tired and they'll get tired. Okay, so keep it, to a good time. But if you can help out in that, that would be great. And as I said, look in the bulletin coming up at the end of this week. For where you can sign up for the calendar and to be able to get information there. And that's what I've got. And let's bow our heads in prayer prior to our leaving. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we have had together this morning to be able to gather together, to join in study of your word and in the worship service this morning. We pray, dear Father, that we will remember that we look to you for the love that you have for us and the love that you have for others. We look to you for guidance that we'll find in your word and in prayer. We pray, dear Father, that in this week ahead, we will know your presence and call upon you when we have needs and look to you for guidance. Help us to remember that everything we have and that we're able to do is made possible through you. Help us to be your ambassadors in this world and to share ourselves and you with others in this world, and hopefully help them, show them your love for them to understand. And we pray that we will serve as beacons that where they will be drawn to you. We pray that you'll be with those who have special needs at this time, who are struggling with illness or other causes. And we pray that you'll be with them and comfort them and have them know that you are there for them. We pray that we will go and live the lives that you would have us to live and to carry out your purpose this week. Help us always to remember you, your son Jesus, the love that you have for us, and it's in his name we pray, amen. Thank you.